It's been rumored for quite some time, but is a salary cap finally coming to Major League Baseball? Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of baseball talk here on the Inside Baseball Network. Today, we've got a packed show. We're going to talk about yesterday's games. We're going to talk about today's games. We're going to talk about the power rankings that have come out this week and why they're just absolutely stupid for the most part. We're going to talk about a report that came out yesterday about the owners and Rob Manfred discussing a potential salary cap and salary floor. And it's going to be a fun show as we head off into the weekend. If you're watching on YouTube, drop a subscription, hit that notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this goes live, and so you can be notified when our live stream tomorrow goes live. It is tomorrow. The poll is still underway, and the Phillies and Cardinals is running away with it, which I don't have a problem with that, but make sure you join us for that tomorrow and let your voice be heard in the poll. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Send the show to your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get their daily source of baseball talk. And check out the First Pitch newsletter in today's issue. It is Friday, so we did the notable injury update on notable stars around the league. And it is free to subscribe to that newsletter, though we do appreciate any and all paid subscriptions as they help keep the bills on around here. How you doing this morning, Drew?
I am ready for the weekend. I think that this weekend's going to be a lot of fun, both in the real world and in baseball. I'm very excited. Hopefully, future NL All-Star Austin Hayes is about to return for my Reds.
Yes, he was. For those that won't see the newsletter, he was scheduled to make his first rehab start last night, but that game was postponed. So, maybe he will get that underway today. But speaking of games from yesterday, it was a short slate on the docket for yesterday. Only 6 games. The Angels at the Rays. Angels take that one 11-1 to move to 8-4. And they're making us liar so far. So the Rays fall to 5-7. Each of Mike Trout, Joe Adele, and Taylor Ward all had 2 home runs. So a lot of power there in Tampa. The day that we talk about George Steinbrenner Field not providing a bunch of runs. So kind of crazy how that always seems to work out. White Sox at the Guardians. Guardians take that one 6-1. Guardians move to a 500 record and 6-6, and the White Sox fall to 2-10. Minnesota Twins at the Kansas City Royals. Royals take that one 3-2 to move to 7-6, and the Twins fall to 4-9. Carlos Estevez gets his 4th save of the year. Milwaukee Brewers drop a game to the Colorado Rockies there in Colorado. So the Colorado Rockies helped Drusev out a little bit, and they moved to 3-9 in the process, while the Brewers fall to 7-6, 7-2 ball game there.
5 Toronto runs Blue, in the bottom of the 8th.
5 runs in the bottom of the 8th. Oh, yep. I didn't even notice that. Wow. Nice.
Yeah, Joel Piam's got blown up.
Yeah. He has a 16.88 ERA now after taking the loss in that one. Not a good start to the year for Joel Piamps. Blue Jays and Red Sox went to extras, 10 innings there. Red Sox take that one 4-3. They are now 7-7. The Blue Jays fall to 8-6. And finally, the only night game of the slate yesterday, which makes no sense why it was a night game. It was not a national televised game, and they should have bumped it up because of weather, because this game didn't end until after midnight in Atlanta, after a 2.5-plus hour rain delay. But the Braves take that one 4-2 in 11 innings and move to 3-9, while the Phillies fall to 8-4. Any other thoughts on yesterday's game, Drew?
No 4-game sweeps. Red Sox and the Rockies both stole one, so they stopped the bleeding a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that was something you touched on yesterday. You were looking forward to seeing if it happened, and it, in fact, did not happen. But the Braves take 2 of 3 from the Phillies in that series and lived up to the hype. It was a playoff series, and the Braves, it's probably got them back on track. They won on a walk-off 2-run home run from Marcell Ozuna. So it was only his 2nd home run of the year, and you know, for Atlanta fans, they're hopeful that that does, in fact, have them on track. But speaking of things that aren't on track, that's a lot of these national outlets and their power rankings, because they're pretty questionable, to say the least, so far this season. I have 5 pulled up right now, 5 different national outlets. I have ESPN, MLB.com, CBS, Bleacher Report, and Fox Sports. And of those 5 different power rankings, four of them have the Los Angeles Dodgers in first place. And this is, some of them did come out before they dropped 2-4 to the Phillies and the Nationals. Like MLB's came out on the 6th, which still was after the Philadelphia Phillies series, and they have the Phillies at number 2. But the only one that does not have the Los Angeles Dodgers and the number 1 position is CBS. And Drew, you had a good take on that whenever we were kind of talking about this before we started recording this morning.
Well, a lot of these things, I mean, power rankings this early in the season are kind of like preseason rankings in college football. They're kind of just, you mash them together, you put the big brands at the top, and then everything ends up shaking out. But, you know, I think that through 2.5 weeks, a lot of these outlets are just putting the teams at the top that they have a little bit of a financial stake in. And I don't think CBS Sports has much of a financial stake in the success of the Los Angeles Dodgers. So they're like, we'll be a little bit different, and they'll shake it up.
Yeah, yeah. CBS is the only one that does not put on any baseball games, I think, ever throughout the year out of Fox, of course, MLB and ESPN. And then Bleacher Report has I think they're owned by WB, Warner Brothers, which also owns TBS. So and TBS does baseball. So, of course, you know, they have a financial stake in the game as well. So it's just, it ties back into our episode from last Friday, where there's pretty much a bias from the national media outlets as well as Major League Baseball towards the Los Angeles Dodgers and the other large market teams. Because if you look also at these power rankings, MLB has the Yankees at number 3. And after their weak competition that they faced in the first couple of games, outside of Max Fried's starts and Aaron Judge, they haven't done much of anything. Like, CBS has them at 6, which is still a little high, but not high, not too high. Bleacher Report also has them at 6. And then Fox has them at 3. So it's and then ESPN has them at 5. So it's, they're on the aggregate between these 5 outlets, they're in the top 5 for the power rankings. And it's just, do the Yankees deserve to be in the top 5 in the power rankings with what they've shown us to this point in the year?
Probably not, but I do think that season opening series where they just completely nuked the Brewers and scored about 50 runs every game is going to stick with a lot of people. I mean, you did mention that a lot of these power rankings were a few days old. So I think that season opening series is going to stick with people. And then once the specter of all of these torpedo bats and the Yankees putting up, you know, 1 million runs in 3 games, once that wears off a little bit, I think the hype, at least in that sense, will cool down. I think the Yankees will be fine in the grand scheme of things. Top 5 in baseball right now, I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, it's definitely questionable, to say the least, especially when you look at some of the teams that are ranked behind the Yankees. Like, for ESPN specifically, one spot behind the Yankees, who they have listed at 7-5 with a 7-5 record at number 5 on their power rankings. Number 6 with a 9-6 record, the Chicago Cubs. Number 7 with a 9-4 record, the Texas Rangers. Number 8 with a 9-3 record, the San Francisco Giants. So it's again questionable, to say the least, of why they have the Yankees ranked so highly, because again, they're just teams that have shown us to this point in the season over a small sample size that so far they are better than the Yankees. And you know, a lot of these outlets really aren't as high as on the Chicago Cubs as I think you and I both are. Like I said, ESPN has them at number 6. For MLB, they have the Cubs falling in at number 6. CBS has the Cubs at number 9. Bleacher Report has the Cubs at number 8. And then Fox has the Cubs at number 9. So they're a top 10 team, according to all of these outlets. But the bottom half of the top 10 teams and closer to 10 than they are to 5 for the most part. So are we wrong on the Cubs? Are they not as good as we think they are? Or is this just, again, some of the national outlets not knowing ball?
If you would have told me that national outlets didn't actually know ball, you'd surprise me. No, I think it's really similar to the Yankees situation. The Cubs got started and they were 2-4. They got 2 games swept out of Japan, and they split with the Diamondbacks. But since then, they've won 7 of 9. They swept the Athletics, took 2 of 3 against the Padres, who are very good. Took 2 of 3 against the Rangers, who are very good. They won the first 2 games of both of those series, and then lost the 3rd game, oddly enough. No, I think that it's the early season slump, just like with the Yankees. That early season explosion is going to just hang with people for a second. We're going to get to it, but the Cubs have a big series ahead, and if they're able to again take 2 of 3, it might wake some people up. I think this Cubs team might actually overperform what a lot of people are expecting, and I'm already going to take the L on that. I thought they were going to be all right. I think that they are now going to be better than all right. If they don't win the NL Central, it'll be because the Reds decide to get nuclear at some point, and it would be awesome. But I fully expect the Cubs to take this division.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. They were my pick before the season to take the division with what they did over the offseason, specifically with the addition of Kyle Tucker. And it's as you pointed out, they have a big series coming up, and we'll go ahead and talk about that series now since we're talking about it, and then get to the rest of them later. But they're facing the Dodgers this weekend for 3 games in Los Angeles. And if Chicago, to your point, can take 2 of 3 games from Los Angeles, that will be the third. Not only will that propel Chicago further up the rankings in people's minds, but it will also be the 3rd consecutive series that the Dodgers have dropped 2 of 3 to teams outside of the National League West. And this will be the first one that came at home, but it will also be the 2nd of those 3 that is against legitimate playoff contenders. So should that happen, should the Cubs take 2 of 3 from the Los Angeles Dodgers this weekend, will these national outlets, will that finally get them to drop their ranking for the Los Angeles Dodgers in next week's version of their power rankings?
Probably not. But we're going to learn a lot about the Cubs through the rest of this month. They've got 3 in L.A., then they have 3 in San Diego. Then they come home for 3 against the Diamondbacks, 2 against LA again, and then 3 against the Phillies. When that series ends on April 27th, we're going to know if the Cubs are one of the on the top echelon of teams, because that is a hell of a stretch. One of the downsides of playing everybody. Obviously, those are all NL teams, so it's going to happen anyway, but That's quite a stretch for the Chicago Cubs. So if they come out of that, winning 2 out of 3, even splitting that two game set with the Dodgers, there you can't ignore the Chicago Cubs after that. Now, obviously, if they falter, then we can revisit. But that's gonna be quite the stretch. We're gonna learn a lot about the Chicago Cubs over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I didn't know that their schedule was that tough coming up. They are 9-6 right now. If I'm doing the mental math correctly, that is 14 game stretch that you just read off. And you don't have to confirm it or deny it. It's close enough at 14. If they can win 8 or 9 of those 14 games, then the Chicago Cubs are legit contenders. Because if they can win 8 or 9 of those 14 games against those teams that you said, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Dodgers again, and the Phillies, 2 of those teams are World Series contenders. And both the Diamondbacks and the Padres, people expected to be playoff contenders entering this season. I was higher on the Padres, and of course, our old friend Lindsey Crosby was higher on the Diamondbacks, but they're still both playoff contending teams. And the Padres have, of course, shown as much so far this year. But that is a rough stretch coming up for the Cubs, man. It's going to be hard. It's going to be fun to watch, but it's going to be hard for them to get through that carefully because, yeah, that's insane. That is a tough stretch. But something else that's going to be hard for people to get through carefully coming up in Major League Baseball is the collective bargaining agreement that ends at the conclusion of the 2026 season. And a report surfaced yesterday that owners and Rob Manfred have had private discussions of late surrounding a salary cap as well as a salary floor. And I'm reading a report here from the Daily Brew, a newsletter that I subscribe to, and they actually wrote about baseball. It's normally about finances and stuff. Today, they had some baseball news. And it says, according to CNBC, team owners and commissioner Rob Manfred are privately contemplating a new economic structure ahead of the expiration of the league's collective bargaining agreement with the players' union in December of 2026. MLB, which has never had a salary cap, is the only major U.S. pro sports league without one. Critics argue it allows teams in big markets to vastly outspend other clubs, hurting the fan experience. But the players' union has long opposed the cap, as it would limit salaries and decrease leverage in contract negotiations. The last time the league tried to implement a salary cap came in 1994, and the players went on strike, canceling months of the season. 1994, I turned one in December of 1994. So while I do understand, and Drew turned one in November of 1994 because he's old, but I do understand that the strike happened. I don't remember it. And I know that it vastly shortened the 1994 season. With the report surfacing yesterday of the owners and Rob Manfred talking about a salary cap as well as a salary floor, which we saw in other reports outside of from the Morning Brew. A, will it happen this time? And B, how do you feel about a salary cap potentially coming to baseball?
I have some seriously mixed feelings about it. Obviously, as a fan of a team that refuses to spend money, having a salary floor might actually really, really help. A salary cap is... So the way that I see it is I think that Major League Baseball, if they have a salary cap, won't change all that much. Because look at the NFL, who has a salary cap. You have some teams like the New Orleans Saints who enter every offseason what feels like $100 million over the cap. By the time that the new league year rolls over, they're somehow way under and able to do anything that they want. The salary cap is an accounting tool. It doesn't really add up everything that players are making that year, and there are ways to manipulate the cap. So unless they specifically say you can't do what the Dodgers did to Shohei Ohtani and pay him $1 million and then defer the vast majority of it until our grandkids are voting for president, then I would be surprised how much of a difference it makes. Now, I do think that it will depress the markets and it'll piss off players because 14 years, $500 million might not happen nearly as often. I mean, it probably shouldn't happen as often as it does because those are like generational player kind of contracts. I'm really hot and cold about it because, on one hand, the Reds, they just can't play in some of these markets that the New York teams, the Boston teams, the Phillies, the LA teams, etc., that they play in. I joked all offseason that Juan Soto was going to shock the world and come play at Great American Ballpark, but I knew for a fact the Reds didn't even look up his contact information. It wasn't going to happen. This is the same team that refused to give Nick Castellanos a call after he exercised his option, I think it was, or they exercised the option. He became a free agent. They never gave him a call. He wanted to come back, and they never gave him a call because he'd be too expensive. So a salary cap, while it may be good for parity within the league, it doesn't take away the fact that a lot of these owners just don't care about winning baseball games. They're not trying. They're making their money off of the TV deals and the ticket sales, etc. They're making their money and they're going home. They don't care about winning. That's probably the biggest reason why there's such a parity, a disparity, I should say, between all these clubs. They don't care. And it sucks. And I think that, yeah, the Locked On Reds guys that I listen to, Jeff Carr, Steve Offenbaker, they say that we're going to lose an entire season of baseball because of this CBA and the negotiations and everything, whether it be a lockout or a strike. They're legitimately worried that we're going to lose the 2026 season, and it's going to suck. But if it comes out that baseball is better, which they need a marketing plan. If they lose an entire season, they need a marketing plan, or else baseball's not going to recover. So we'll see. I'm 50-50 on it, but I gotta have more faith in these billionaire owners actually trying to win baseball games before I have a strong feeling one way or another.
I also think we're going to lose baseball. I don't know if it'll be a full season. I think we're going to lose a lot of baseball, though, because of the either a strike or a lockout. But I Lindsay and I kind of talked about this a lot in the offseason, whether the sport needed a cap or a floor or both. And I kind of agree with you. I don't think the sport needs a cap as much as it needs a floor. I think that a salary floor is much more prescient and needed in Major League Baseball because, again, owners don't want to spend. They're in it to make as much profit. Not all owners, but a lot of the owners are in it to make as much profit as possible by spending as little as possible and still getting season ticket sales, TV rights, all the other merchandise and everything profit. And it's just it. Teams need to spend more. The Baltimore Orioles need to spend more. The Pittsburgh Pirates need to spend more than they do. They're not a large market, but they can still spend more. And there are just a ton of other teams out there that can spend more than they do and just don't do it. The Chicago Cubs, this has been the Chicago Cubs episode, but they need to spend more than they do and they don't. Like the Ricketts family are multi-billionaires and they just don't spend money. And teams need to spend more. So I think that a salary floor is much more prescient than a salary cap. And at the same time, I think that they need to fix the loopholes in the system. Cause you kind of touched on it with the Ohtani deal where his AAV is $70 million. And for some reason, there's some kind of weird freaking math that makes no sense to anybody but the MLB Players Union, where they can just throw a random arbitrary number at it and say this is what's going towards their luxury tax payroll. It makes absolutely no sense. And I have no problem with teams doing deferrals if the entire portion of the salary still counts towards the luxury tax. For Shohei Ohtani in specific, he's making $1, $2 million, though his AAV on his contract is $70 million. All $70 million of that needs to count towards their luxury tax because that money is currently being invested until he retires and they have to start paying it to him. Even if they're putting it in a high-yield savings account, they're making at least 3.6% a year on that money, compounding month over month every single freaking year. They are an investment group. They are the ownership group, the majority of it, are a financial entity that made their billions off of being a investment corporation. They know how to do freaking investing, and that is what they are allowed to do with the money that they have to put aside to pay Ohtani whenever it is time to pay him his deferred money. So it should count towards the luxury payroll, all of it. I don't care about the random freaking number that the MLB Players Association says, oh, 34 million. Where does that number come from? It makes no freaking sense. No, there's no mathematical sense in that whatsoever. I don't care how many people try to explain it to me. There's no mathematical sense in that. You cannot go from 70 million, the AAV, he's getting paid 1 or 2 million, 34 million. It's not even half. So it doesn't make sense. And 34 million might not be the exact number. Whatever the number is, it's close to that, and it's stupid. And the MLB needs to fix that loophole as well as any of the other loopholes that exist, as well as adding a floor. A salary cap should not be in the mix, because that is going to be what's going to cost us baseball games. But we do have a full slate of baseball games on tap today, unless, of course, weather permitting for some of them. But and they're all night games. There are no day games today. So that kind of makes me sad, Drew. I'm not going to have any day games today. But 6:10 p.m. Eastern is the first game of the day. Royals at the Guardians. Chris Bubich, your boy there, the pitcher of the week for you, against Tanner Bibee, gets things started. 7-6 Royals at 6-6 Guardians. And then at 6:40 p.m. Eastern, the Pittsburgh Pirates at the Cincinnati Reds. Bailey Falter at Brady Singer. How do you expect this series to go, as well as today's game?
The Reds need to catch fire in order to save the morale around town. Yeah, they were this close to sweeping the Giants. They didn't. That's kind of how it works. Yastrzemski, Mike Yastrzemski, that hit the walk off, not Wilmer Flores. He hit the game tying home run. Brady Singer has been actually great to this point. He's pitched well better than I expected. We expected him just to be an innings eater, just save the bullpen. He's a good veteran presence, but he's been pretty spot on this year. He's not to be outdone by Hunter Green and Nick Lodolo, which is obviously a high bar. The Reds absolutely need to take 2 of 3 in this series, especially when they're missing the two, you know, good Pirates starters. They have to get going. Especially with the Mariners coming to town the following week, and they will run into the Mariners' good starters, especially with Luis Castillo, the actual Luis Castillo, not Luis Castillo, the one with an F in the middle of his name. So, big series, you know, NL Central foe, Pirates. We don't like them. They don't like us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, both teams enter this series 5-8, so one of them is going to come out on the other end with the better record, and Brady Singer is 2-0 with a 2.25 ERA to this point in the season. He's doing a little bit better than Nick Martinez. 7:05 p.m. Eastern, Blue Jays at the Orioles. 7:05 p.m. Eastern also, Atlanta Braves travel to Tampa, take on the Rays. Bryce Elder at Taj Bradley. Taj Bradley getting his third start, still high on him despite his 4.91 ERA. Also at 7:05 p.m. Eastern, the third of such games, the San Francisco Giants at the New York Yankees. Giants are 9-3. Yankees are 7-5. Robbie Ray at Marcus Stroman. Expect the Giants to bounce on Marcus Stroman because he sucks. 7:10 p.m. Eastern, the Washington Nationals at the Miami Marlins. Nationals have a chance to move to and above 500 this year, as they are sitting at 5-7 while the Marlins are 6-6, and Miami is throwing the dreaded TBD in this game. 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Red Sox at the White Sox, the Sox brethren. The Red Sox are 7-7. White Sox are 2-10. Don't expect the White Sox to get a win in that one. 8:10 in that series. 8:10 p.m. Eastern, the Los Angeles Angels at the Houston Astros. Kokkinalix. That's just a fun name to say, and I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. And Ronel Blanco in that one. 8-4 Angels. Astros are 5-7. 8:10 p.m. Eastern, Detroit Tigers at the Minnesota Twins. Tigers are 7-5. Twins are 4-1. Battle of the AL Mid there. 8:15 p.m. Eastern, Philadelphia Phillies at St. Louis Cardinals. Aaron Nola gets the start for the Phillies. They are 8-4, and the Cardinals are 5-7. Expect the Phillies to take at least 2 out of 3 in that one. 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Colorado Rockies at San Diego Padres. Padres are 10-3. Rockies are 3-9. That should be a fun one for San Diego, at least. 9:40 p.m. Eastern, Texas Rangers at Seattle Mariners. Rangers are 9-4. Mariners are 5-8. Jacob DeGrom getting his third start of the year against Bryce Miller. Rangers should take at least one and get their 10th win of the year at some point this weekend. Also at 9:40 p.m. Eastern, the Milwaukee Brew Crew at the Arizona Diamondbacks. Both teams are 7-6. Milwaukee also throwing the dreaded TBD, while Arizona is throwing Eduardo Rodriguez and his 6.1 ERA. 10:05 p.m. Eastern, New York Mets at the Athletics. Mets are 8-4. Athletics are 5-8. Griffin Canning on the mound for the Mets, and J.P. Sears on the mound for the Athletics. another easy opponent for the New York Mets early in the year, and their powerful offense gets to hit in a high school stadium. 10:10 p.m. Eastern Chicago Cubs at the Los Angeles Dodgers. Cubs are 9-6. Dodgers are 10-4. This is going to be the series of the weekend between these two teams. Matthew Boyd and Yoshinobu Yamamoto get us started tonight. Any final thoughts about the series this weekend, Drusif?
Phillies, please take care of the Cardinals for us. Cubs, Dodgers, that is easily the series of the weekend. That's going to be a fun one. Two teams that we might have a playoff preview on our hands between the Dodgers and the Cubbies. Love it.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one over there in Los Angeles. But that is going to do it for us today here on the First Pitch Podcast, as well as this week. So if you're watching on the YouTube, leave us a subscription, turn on that notification icon so you can be notified when another episode just like this one goes live and when our live streams go live, with the first one being tomorrow, our first watch party. Come watch baseball with me. Find the post on the YouTube page. Make your voice be heard and let me know which game we're going to watch. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Send the show to your friends. Tell them where they can get their daily source of baseball talk. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com. Check out the First Pitch newsletter. Link for that is in the description. In today's issue, we went over the notable injury updates from this week across baseball. And with the podcast being off on the weekend, tomorrow and Sunday's issues will be recapping the games from the night before, respectively. It is free to subscribe to the newsletter, though we do appreciate any and all paid subscriptions as they help keep the bills on around here. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.